Der Energy Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
Hallo, ich bin Svelina und ich habe einen großartigen Gast heute bei mir im Studio, den man mit der unfassbaren Stimme Regan Bowman. Welcome, so nice to have
you. Thank you so much, you're so welcome.
So, you have, first of all, congratulations, you have new music out.
I do.
Yes, and there will be a new album.
There will be, in October.
And there will be a tour.
Yes.
And everything is happening right
now. I know, it's so exciting.
But actually, you seem pretty chilled for me, pretty easy. Everything is cool for you.
I like this, coming around and seeing people face to face again. You know, it was hard with the last album when you just have everything had to be on Zoom calls and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see people face to face.
So for us as radio hosts, we do love to do the interviews like face to face.
Of course, me too.
Yeah. It's more like having a real conversation and seeing real feelings in the other face and something like that. Yeah. So I'm so glad that you are here and you have pretty much going on. Also, your new single, Rush of Blood.
Yes.
I listened to it the whole day, actually.
Okay, thank you.
Every time when I had a little chance of just listening to it, it's like, I think 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, just listen to
one
it
more
again.
Time.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so
and
much.
I really love this kind of, you have like a slower intro.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then it starts and get like up-tempo stuff.
So we made that intro by taking the verse part and we put it into like an old school tape player and then and slowed it down.
Like in real tape player?
In real tape player, yeah.
Cool.
So that's why it sounds like that.
Yeah. It's so a little bit like comfy or something. Was it the intention to just have a calm start and then?
I like the tempo change.
Mm-hmm.
I like you expect it to be slow and then boom, it comes in, you know, fast. So.
And then it's totally fun. And I saw that you have like real, how are they called? The violin?
Strings? Yeah. We went to a place called Rack Studios in the UK, in London. And recorded for a bunch of songs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was important, strings on this song, because it's meant to feel like 70s kind of disco music. And the strings are always a big part of that.
Is this something that's really important for you to just have like real music and not just put it on like on computer? And
yes, very much so. I think the album in general is like produced quite a lot of it electronically because it's quite hip hop sounding, most of it. But I like to mix that with elements of organic, real music. So, you know, when you hear the bass, it's someone playing the bass, you know, and you hear horns, it's real horns and strings and stuff. So I think it gives it a real music feel. You know.
Yeah, really, because always when I listen to your songs, I always think this is really like honest and deep and authentic.
Mm.
And I think this is very special in music today. Like nowadays you have these feelings. It's really special. So the like real musicians in it, like you can stand up also.
That's
yeah, having real musicians in it is the one thing. But what are you doing to have like this feeling of authentic, real, deep music?
Well, I think to be honest, the way I look at music for myself is, it doesn't matter what the backdrop is, the musical backdrop. I'm always looking for the best song, and like, you know, it could be just a piano song that turns into something else. But it, you know, if it stands up as a good song first, then the production part, you know, is like, that can come later. But you have to make sure the song is good enough first.
Is this like a feeling in your gut?
Yeah. Like I usually know halfway through a song, hence why I've got lots of unfinished songs where I'm like, no, that's not good enough. In the bin.
Do they have the chance to get good enough, or are they already dumped?
No, I usually know straight away if it's not good enough. So no one ever hears those ones.
Okay. So I read about the song that the chorus actually came like accidentally to you. Do you like to share the process of getting to the chorus?
Basically, what happened with this song is, I had the kind of musical backdrop in mind before I had the idea for the lyric of the song. And that's not usually how I work. I usually work with like lyrics first, and then we do the music afterwards. But this time around, I was so fixated on a specific sound that we did all of that first. And then it was like, let's just find some cool words to fit in. You know, sometimes it doesn't have to be that deep.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can just be about the vibe of the song in general. And this one was like that. You know, it's like, let's just find some cool words that fit into where, you know, we made the music.
Yeah, also a good way to come there. And I thought about, because this kind of accidentally happened.
Yeah.
Is there a way to just force a good song? So can you be there and say, okay, now I will make a good song?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. You have to let... Well, for me, it's like I have to take from a thought or a feeling that I have and then write from there.
Okay.
That's most of the time the way I do it. It's like it might be 4 a.m. and I'm in bed and I have to get up because I can't sleep or whatever. And then my mind starts to work and then I have a thought. So I record it on my phone as a voice note, or I'll write it down. And then that just sits on my phone for ages. And then I go to the studio and then somebody plays something and I'm like, oh, that would go really well with what I wrote the other night at 4 a.m.
Oh, and cool. Connecting the pieces.
And then I connect them together. Yeah. And then I can start working on what the song means and stuff.
This is cool, yeah.
Yeah.
While Googling about Rush of Blood, I came up to a horror video game.
Oh, yeah?
Which is also called Rush of Blood.
Okay, wow.
And I was like, okay, this doesn't really fit to the sound you're creating.
No.
Thankfully.
No, because the blood is not literal.
Yeah. And this video game is about psychotic horror, okay, and clowns, and you're on a carnival and some stuff like this. Are you into gaming? And
not really.
No?
No, I don't. To be honest, I might sound old, but the last gaming console I owned was like PlayStation 2, I think. But I don't really have time for it. And I also don't have the concentration. You know, I know some people can sit there for hours and hours and hours, but I can't do that.
You need to just also practice gaming, actually.
Yeah.
I saw a documentation about esports. So when you're getting money with it and playing it, and they are like insane about doing this the whole day.
Yeah.
And yeah, so this is okay if you just...
I never really sit down for long enough to play that for that long, you know.
Okay, so no favorite games which you can recommend to
others? The last game I played was probably like Sonic the Hedgehog.
A cool game.
It is a cool game, yeah.
Yeah, so it's okay to just do it for fun and Okay, so you will have not only the new song Rush of Blood out,
yes,
you will have a whole new album, What Do You Believe In?
Yes.
And I think it's... like all your music is totally deep and
emotionally touching.
So how do you feel about this piece of art coming out?
Well, I feel like a little bit nervous, but I'm happy with the record as it is. Like I'm very often like very critical of myself, and I'll listen to it back. And I'll be like, I want to change this. I want to change that. I don't like the way I sound here, there. But I've come to sort of a peaceful place with it, and I'm okay. I'm good, you know. And I really like it. I enjoy like listening to it back. So I don't usually feel that way about my own music.
Are you low-key like a perfectionist?
Yeah, but you have to say that's it. Sometimes you have to get to a point and say no more, because otherwise your music will never come out.
Can you do this by yourself, or do you need like help from others, which are saying no? Just
sometimes it's good to get someone else's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, is this good enough? And if they say yes, then sometimes you have to take that advice.
Because so many coaches on Instagram and in the internet, they are always telling about, no, don't listen to other people, just do your own stuff. But sometimes you need help from others.
I should take advice from other people. Otherwise, you'll never hear my music. It will never come out.
Okay. Which kind of people are the guys you trust the most in this process?
My missus. I like it if my children like my music. I'm happy because they kind of listen in a different way. If it kind of takes them. And Jesse's like very vocal about it. He's only 8, but if he hears it one time and the next day I hear him singing it back, then I know that this, we're probably onto a good thing.
I do get goosebumps from this.
Yeah.
That's like the cutest thing, right?
Mm-hmm. And he's a good little singer too.
Okay. So will you do a collab with your kids?
Ruben and Jesse, they're both similar age. Ruben's 7 and Jesse's 8. And they're both on the album, talking on the album at the very beginning. And we asked them, what do you think love is? And they gave us like a really, really beautiful, honest answer. And then, so I sampled it and I put it on the beginning of the record.
This is so special, right?
Yeah.
So I can totally understand why you're like a little bit nervous to put this out, because everyone could judge it. But I think everyone will say this is the cutest.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, totally. And you will be on tour in Germany. We have Hamburg, yes. Cologne and Berlin.
Yes. And hopefully some more.
Yeah, totally. But like, for like, you know, energy, it's like these 3 cities, right?
Yeah.
And... Yeah, you have like really deep songs, really powerful songs.
Thank you.
What can we expect? How do you prepare for your tour?
Well, I really would like to play like the whole record, the new one.
Okay.
But I also realize that people want to hear old songs too. So I'm going to have to find a balance of like how much new material and how much old material I play. Because if I turned up and I just played the new album, and everyone's like, right, he didn't even play Human or like Giant or Skin or anything. So I've got to find a balance.
Okay.
But we will. And we're my band are great and they sound great and they make me sound better than I actually am. So.
Oh, this is so nice, but I don't think. So this is in Berlin. It's end of November.
Okay. Yeah.
And now... You're here and you see, we do have the sunshine and we do have summer and everything is cool. And to love Berlin in summer is pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell people who want to move here, it's easy to love Berlin in summer. But when you come back here in November, it will be hard. So everything is great.
I like the cold. It's fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you more like a summer or a winter guy?
I've been to Berlin in the winter and I liked it. So.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So for you as a person, everything is good. Do you prefer the summer months or more the winter time?
I like the summer when I've got nothing to do.
So today is for you, actually.
But I prefer to work in the winter.
Okay.
But, you know.
I think it matches.
Just to find a balance.
Yeah. It matches with your music, like kind of. Yeah. And do you have some...
I'm so sorry.
Do you need a drink or something?
I'm good.
I think we're actually...
We'll be fine.
Just one last question.
It's fine.
Have you some tips for the audience which is coming to your concerts? Like, do we need to prepare choreographies or do we need to sing every song?
Well, I mean, I love it when people sing back to me. I really do. I would hope that, you know, that by the time we get to November, that they would have learned some of the new songs. I hope so.
Yeah, totally.
You know, just have a good time. Maybe have a few beers and share the experience with me, because that's what I like the most, is seeing people face to face and getting that like rapport with the audience. You know what I mean? I want to be your friends.
Totally. Nice words.
Yeah.
So what's the most special thing that ever happened to you on a concert?
There's been quite a lot of times, but I think it was the first time I realized that I could really affect people emotionally. Like there was this lady in the front row and she was singing every single word and she had this sign. And it said that she had lost her husband and she wanted to thank me for helping her through that grieving process, and in a few words, mm-hmm. but she held up this sign at the end, and I was like, whew. You know, it's when you see that from the stage, it's like it's a very powerful thing. And I kind of, up until that point, I hadn't experienced anything like that before, not kind of face to face. So
yeah,
it's an emotional, but also a very nice thing to be able to do for somebody.
I can only imagine how it is to be a musician, because actually I do not sing, and everyone is happy about it. But the moment you realize what I'm doing with my art is actually touching the reality of other people, this must be so crazy.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
It's always like you're coming from one radio station to another, and then you're on stage somewhere, and then you give some interviews, and then something like doing photos with your fans something.
Yeah.
And then you have this special moment of a really, really hard time of like this woman.
Yeah.
And you realize, okay, I'm living in the reality of other
absolutely.
People. They do spend time with me.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And do you have like a special connection to your fans and feel it too? Like giving
them
this part of their life?
I think I know my fans pretty well by now. And do you know what the nicest thing is sometimes when you, I only get this at gigs when I play like really old songs that I think that most people don't know, because they might not, you know, like there's a song in our set called Perfume, and I wrote it 10 years ago now, and most people don't know it, but when I look out into the audience, there's always a few people singing along, and then I start to recognize people from other shows, you know. I'm like, wow, I haven't seen you for like 3 years, you know, these familiar faces, and they're like the hardcore fans that have been there for the last 10 years, and that's really touching.
Some kind of family vibes, like coming together
real.
Like once in a year, once every 2 years, just to check out, are you still okay? Yeah, everything's cool. I can still do my job. I can still sing, and you are still here and have a good time. This is so nice.
It's nice.
So I wish you all the best for the tour.
Thank you so much.
And I hope that everyone is crying in the audience, because it's so deep and so wonderful.
Well,
but like lucky
hopefully
tears.
Hopefully crying and dancing.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah. There are some playlists on like Spotify or something.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
called Crying on the Dance Floor. And
okay.
this is something we can do for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you
so much
your time. And have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de.